Thank you, Nicole. Now I belong to Jesus. Beautiful rendition of that. Thank you, Matt. Wonderful job on the meditation today. And worship team, great job. Thank you, choir. Matthew 22. We're going to turn to Matthew 22. Keep in mind, we are getting a late start here. Oh, I got time. We're good. Matthew 22, beginning with verse 34, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for Jesus, who has revealed to us you. In him all things were made, by him and through him. He came to display your love for us on the cross. And you've called us to be a people of love. Speak to us through your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. This is us. We are continuing a relationship series based on the scriptures, a biblical worldview, not the TV series that is a worldview of relationships. As we look at this commandment, we see the two on which all the law and prophets hang. And Jesus summed these all down and brought great significance to what the scriptures are teaching us, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And the second one goes right with it, loving your neighbor as yourself. Now we tend to focus on the first two parts of that, loving God and loving others. In fact, churches make this their vision statement. We will love God and love others. But I want to focus on the third part, as you love yourself. James calls this the royal law, James 2:8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. Now let's not forget that last part, loving yourself. And this is not an egotistical, arrogant love of self. This is a healthy, godly way of loving self. Now, the reason that most people struggle with humility is a lack of self-esteem, an unhealthy view of self. And arrogance can be a byproduct of an unhealthy view of self. Elevating yourself above others, knocking others down because of an unhealthy view of self. I will elevate myself by looking down upon others. Now what we're talking about is relationship. And in these two commandments, we're looking at the vertical relationship, us with God, and the horizontal relationship, us with others. And the cross displays both of these so well, the vertical and the horizontal love that we show to God, to one another, and to self. A group of friends were gathered at one of the couple's homes in their backyard for a cookout on their brand new patio, brand new fire pit. They had an amazing time together, laughing and sharing stories and a wonderful meal. After the meal, the host pulled out some long roasting forks for marshmallows, passed around the marshmallows, and they were loading them up. And about that time, two fire trucks went by out in front of the house. As all the rest of the neighbors, they were all curious, and they went to check out, see what was going on. And they saw down at the end of the street, one of the houses was on fire, and all the neighbors had gathered, and they rushed down there, and there was the family standing helplessly as their house was burning. But the person that wrote about this said, "We got down there, and everybody looked at us with disgust. And they couldn't believe we were there. when we realized we were all holding our marshmallows and our roasting sticks, that we gave the wrong impression. And misunderstanding can lead to relationship problems, can lead to miscommunication. And so relationships can be daunting. They can be filled with misunderstandings and frustrations, and we anger one another. But a healthy view of self and putting everything in an eternal perspective helps us sift through all the unimportant that creates tension and see that which really matters when we see through eternal eyes, through God's eyes. The very nature of God is love. Genesis tells us that we've been created in His image. 1 John 4 tells us that love is a product of living in His will. So you can't possibly love your neighbor and love God in a healthy way until you love self. You must first love you if you're going to have a healthy love to your neighbor. 1 John 4:7-12, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Not one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. It all begins with God's love for us. And you have to view self through the cross. Now, there are two views that are pretty strong in our nation right now. And our nation in the last 50 years has really flipped. In that, used to going to church on the first day of the week, worshiping God, a faith in God was the norm. Now, it's the exception that the largest religious group in our country now that has overtaken Christianity are those who mark none on a survey. What's your religious affiliation? And you have check boxes. The largest religious group in our country are the nones, those that check none. And those who are atheists in our nation are far greater today than they were 50 years ago. In fact, many of those atheists are now antagonistic atheists. And that group is growing, and it has grown. And it is a religion. You have to decide, am I going to accept what our universities and our public schools are teaching as fact, which has never been proven? You have to accept it on faith, or you're going to accept that the Word of God is truth, and that God made the heavens and the earth. You're going to accept it by faith. You have a choice. Both you have to accept on faith. The atheist says, there is no God. We created ourselves. That's what evolution is, that we created ourselves and the universe and the earth and life with all its detail and all its systems and all the intricacies and how it all works together. For all this to come about by random choice, by self creation, it has to take the probabilities of this happening millions, hundreds of millions of years. Maybe billions of years for this to all come about. Okay, well, let's say that. Let's go down that path. So where did it start? Well, there was this mixing of gases and this big explosion. And so someone came up with the Big Bang Theory. Okay, well, where did those gases come from? There's still a problem with where the beginning is. What's the cause? If you accept evolution, which has never been proven, there still hasn't been evidence brought to light to support it. It is a theory, and those who have accepted it on faith have a religion of atheism. It's a religion. It's accepted on faith. Or you can choose the scriptures that teach, well, we know the beginning. God made the heavens and the earth. Why do you think there's such detail and such intricacies in the systems? There's such great design. You think that came about by accident? I'm choosing on faith, as he says, none of us have seen God. No one has seen God. So I am choosing on faith to accept the idea and the truth from God's Word that God made the heavens and the earth. In fact, the evidence is overwhelming. There is so much evidence to support a Creator. And there is evidence that confirms Jesus walked on the earth. And the evidence of a resurrected Jesus is overwhelming if you go in search of it. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so you have a choice. I'm going to believe what the world says, there is no God, or I'm going to believe that there is a God. Both require faith. And I think to be an atheist takes a whole lot more faith than to believe in God. And this God who made the heavens and the earth loves you. And He displayed on the cross that I would rather die for you than live without you. For God so loved the world, as Matt was sharing, that He gave His one and only Son. And you can put your name in there. For God so loved Dan. For God so loved Kathy. For God so loved Carol. For God so loved Brittany. For God so loved Jimmy. For God so loved Landon. For God so loved you that on the cross He was saying to you, God who became one of us said, I love you and I would rather die for you than live without you. And so your value comes not in what you do. Your value comes through the cross. John 17:23 says, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. That God loves us as He loves His Son. And learning to love ourselves prepares and helps us to love our neighbors. You are the object of God's love. Your value comes through the cross. The only way to love ourselves in the way that God desires is to see ourselves through the lens of the cross of Jesus. That before you can love your neighbor, you have to love yourself, acknowledging that God made you and that He loves you just as you are. You are a child of God. You are His family. You are valued. Now consider how to love self, how to love you. Now there are so many ways we could look. We could probably come up with 100 ways to increase your self-esteem. 100 ways to love you. Maybe even 200. But today we're just going to look at three. Why three? Because the rule of three says that our brains are wired to retain a maximum of three. Maybe four if you're pushing it. So we're going to look at just three. The first is this. Forgive you. Forgive yourself. Acknowledge that you are not perfect. No one is. Don't beat yourself up. Don't view your mistakes as failures. View them as learning experiences and make them learning experiences and learn from them. Don't do the same thing over and over and over and expect a different result. Learn from the mistakes and put them behind you and forgive you, 1 Corinthians 1:6-8, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That you, when Jesus returns, will be viewed as guiltless because of the cross of Jesus. Jesus said, who was innocent, allowed himself to be pronounced guilty. And he said, I will take the price. I will pay the price. I will take your penalty. So that you and me, who are guilty of sin, can be pronounced innocent. So because of the cross, we will be found guiltless when He returns. Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of His grace. Matthew 18, then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? And Jesus says, no, 77 times. Does that mean we carry around a notepad and we put our friends' names on there and our family members and our co-workers, and every time we have to forgive, we put a little mark, and when we get to 77, say, okay, I'm done with you. That's it. No more. I'm out of here or you're out of here. No. Jesus is saying, you can't count. You can't keep track. You just keep forgiving. And in the same way, forgive yourself. 70 times 7. Forgive yourself, then you can forgive others. Susan Steris Baldacci writes about her mother. She says, my mother is a master of guilt trips. She showed me a photo of herself waiting by a phone that never rings. Mom, I call all the time, I said. If you had an answering machine, you'd know. Soon after, my brother installed one for her. When I called the next time, I got her machine. If you are a salesperson, press 1. If you're a friend, press 2. If you're my daughter, who never calls, press 911 because the shock will probably give me a heart attack. Nikki Gumbel tells us of a man who sent a check to the government for back taxes with a note attached that said, I felt so guilty for cheating on my taxes, I had to send you this check. If I don't feel any better, I'll send you the rest. Now, if you need to make things right with someone, make it right. Put it behind you. Apologize if you need to apologize. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Make it right so you can set it behind you and put it behind you, and you can forgive them and forgive self. You've done everything you can do to live at peace with everyone, but the devil, he wants you to hold on to that. He wants that guilt to steal your joy. He wants that guilt to eat you alive. He wants to remind you and make that big mistake of yours that which defines you and how you define yourself. Let go and renew you. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You got to set that all behind. All those mistakes, set them behind and walk away from them and leave them there. Change the life. Change. Don't keep doing the same mistakes over and over. Change your life. Renew your mind. Retrain your mind. Let God show you His will for your life. And the road, even though it might be bumpy, it won't be near as bumpy. And He'll give you all the help you need to get through the bumpiness of life. When you strive to do it God's way, Ephesians 4 says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self created after the likeness of God and true righteousness and holiness. Isaiah 40:31 says, they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. And then it goes on to say, you will soar on wings like eagles. Psalm 103:5 says, you are renewed like eagles. A giant eagle, through its life, begins to lose feathers. And its beak and its talons become calcified and crusty. And it slows the eagle down. And when that eagle is going after its prey, because of the loss of feathers, it begins to whistle. And it becomes a distraction and a hindrance to capturing its prey as the sound alerts its prey. And so an eagle, as it gets old and crusty talons and feathers, it'll go to a rocky place. And there it will pluck out its feathers. And it'll grind its talons down to nubs. And it'll break off its beak on the rocks. And it becomes very vulnerable. This is a 5-month process. And some eagles will starve because of the inability to go after food. And some will be overtaken by another creature that preys upon it, and it's helpless. So they look for a high, rocky place where they'll be safe. They might store up some food in the process. And then at the end of that 5 months, new feathers have grown back. And new, sharp, shiny talons have formed. And its pointy beak that acts a lot of times as a hook is now restored, brand new. And maybe that's what the psalmist means. And the writer of Isaiah, renewed like eagles, that we are sharp. And may our prayer be, God, remove the crust. Pull out the feathers that lead me in the wrong directions. Renew me, train me, teach me. And the less time we spend in the Word, the slower that renewal takes. But the more time we spend in His Word, the more He can remake us. And finally, rest you. Rest you. Genesis tells us the Creator, God, made the heavens and the earth. And each day for 6 days, He looked and He said, it is good. And on the seventh day, He rested. Now, do you think the God of all the universe, who spoke the universe into existence, God who is all-powerful, has all authority, is all-knowing, at the end of the 6 days was, whew, I'm exhausted. No. God doesn't grow tired. He never rests on you. But He was setting an example for us that you need margins. You need to step back. You need a break. You need to rest. For if you keep going and going and going, you're going to break down. Your body's going to give up. You're going to become inefficient. In fact, when the people left Egypt, they had just left hundreds of years of slavery. And they knew what it meant to work hard day after day. In fact, they were worked to death. Day after day after day. And so they didn't know anything else. And so God commanded them, you need a day to rest and refocus and to look to me and to worship me and to realign yourself with me. You need perspective. And companies like Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby discovered that they could be more profitable in 6 days than their competitors in seven. One of the most touching moments of the Sydney Olympics was when Eric the swimmer Musambani of Equatorial Guinea, which is in the southwest portion of Africa, Eric swam in the 100-meter swim. The International Olympic Committee had a special program for smaller, poorer countries to send athletes to the Olympics. And he was set aside to swim the 100-meter dash. He just learned to swim months before. He hadn't been swimming long. He learned and practiced in a pool that was 20 meters. His longest race he ever swam was 50 meters. And now he was on the edge of the pool with just two other swimmers in his heat. Swimmers, take your marks. Get set. Bang, bang. The second bang was because the two others false started. They had been disqualified. And now Eric was all alone to swim across 100 meters. He had never swam before in lanes like this, in a pool this big. And as he swam across the pool, the crowd stood and cheered him on. And it was rough. His head didn't go below the water, and he flailed around as best he could. It was almost like the doggy paddle. His time was coming in at least a minute more than the next heat. He was almost to the finish. 20, 10 meters away, when he just couldn't go any further. He thought he was going to drown, but the crowd cheered him on. Go, go, you can do it. Go, go, go. And he managed with every little bit of strength to reach the edge of the pool, and he grabbed on for dear life and hung on. Don't give up. Life is a journey. Forgive you. That renewal, being made new, is a journey. Keep going. Keep going. Rest when you need to. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus, because we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. Go! Go! There are those that have made it. They finished the line. And they are testimonies of faith. And it's as if they're cheering us on. Keep going. Keep going. The author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and now is seated at the right hand of God. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for showing us how much you love us. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for loving us. And I pray that we would see us as you see us. That we would claim that love in a way that we can't help but love others. Especially those that need to know how much you love them. Especially those who are lost and who will spend eternity in hell until they discover how much you love them and that they embrace the cross. And I pray that we would love them to the cross as you have loved us to the cross. Father, now in our decision, if there's one here that needs to surrender to you, give them the courage to step out, to confess Jesus as Lord, and to make a pledge to you in baptism. It's more than just a testimony of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. In baptism, we pledge our lives to you. 1 Peter 3. Maybe one here that needs to recommit their life and be renewed in you, remade. Give them the courage, or one to place their membership here. Give blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have